Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the Church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps this will help you with your lack of assurance. This is Wretched Radio. What are the papers that I'm annoyingly crinklingly between my never-before nicotine-stained fingers? Two emails that I hope will help you if you are one who is a regular doubter of the status of your soul. An email was sent in. This is one of the most common emails that we receive here at Wretched Radio. It is about assurance. So let's use this email, and then we'll use that email. Did you hear the difference? Versus, you heard the difference. And one might help us with the other. Todd, I just listened to a sermon on seven signs you're not saved. I'm in trouble. That's such a good thing. You know, that is right. I wouldn't need to read the rest of this email to encourage this person who wrote in this email. Do you know why? Because false converts don't think they're in trouble. False converts don't care if they're in trouble. It is an awesome sign that you think you're in trouble. Now, we got to fix it because that ain't right. God doesn't want you staying in that gear. There can be areas of your life that need some cleaning up, but that's sanctification. That's not justification. And the individual who regularly wobbles because they think, yikes, I'm not performing as well as I should. As long as there's a yikes in there, I feel a great deal of confidence in saying, okay, then brother, sister, let's talk through this so that we can get you on more solid footing. But the fact that you say yikes, that is an excellent sign. The individual who is not saved never says yikes. They say whatever. Back to the email. I'm in trouble because I have to admit, failed at least three areas. That's wrong. I am very confident in also saying this. You failed in all areas because we all do. That's the tricky part. And that's really the if we don't handle 1 John rightly, there's more than seven signs in 1 John. So I don't know what the text was for this particular sermon, but in 1 John, it gives a lot of tests. If this, then that. If you love the brethren, you're a Christian. If you don't, you're not. If you love the things of the world, you're not a Christian. If you're not repenting, you're not a... And if we don't handle those rightly, if we handle those like you have to be perfect at all of those things, well, then all of us are going to be miserable because none of us meet that standard. The reality is we fall in all of them. And that is why the better question I think you should ask when examining yourself is not, am I doing this perfectly, but how much do I desire to do it rightly? Is my heart broken that I don't meet up to match God's standard of perfect holiness? Do I want those things? Do I want to be obedient? That is a much better barometer, perhaps thermometer, as far as the temperature of your salvation. Because none of us are going to meet that standard. That's why we need Jesus all the time, isn't it? That's why we're constantly running to him. Because we're constantly falling short. And that is the reality. We just don't meet the standard. And if we simply look at our performance in meeting the standard, then guess what? We will have all of the evidence we need to accuse ourselves and to condemn ourselves to hell. But I don't think that that's the right examination. I think John is trying to wake you up to go, oh, wow. I'm so sinful. I so need Jesus. I so want to be forgiven. I so want to do those things. That's the mark of a Christian. Back to the email. Not having a hunger for God's word, lacking in fruit of the Spirit, and putting so many things before God. Those are the three areas of failure. I don't need to meet this person who sent the email to say, yes, I know you've failed in those areas. Because none of us read the word like we should. None of us have the fruit of the Spirit that we should. None of us have God first in everything. Now, this is not to be dismissive. It is not to become passive in our sanctification. It is not to presume on grace at all. But it is to be clear. We just don't. We just don't. And this shouldn't cause us to be lazy. It should cause us to be grateful that God just keeps forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving because we are so in need of His mercy and grace. That is why when you examine yourself, doing a strict grade, no curve, just a strict grading on your performance, you fail. You fail. I don't care who's listening out of the tens and tens of people. All y'all fail. That's why we need Jesus. That's why our salvation is an ongoing thing, because we are just not meeting the standard. And so if you're a wobbler, you doubt, then might I encourage you, maybe ask a different question. How do you feel about failing? How do you feel about falling? How do you feel about not meeting God's standard? How much do you desire to do better? Those are much better questions to ask. Let's finish this email here, shall we? I may not have truly repented of my sins either. I am ashamed. Please, could you help me? How does one truly repent? What am I supposed to say? How can I develop a real deep hunger for God's word? Do you have any suggestions for me? That this is an individual who needs to be girded up, who needs to be reminded of promises, because that can be another reason that we have a lack of assurance. It's not just a confusion about our performance and how we go about the business of grading the quality of our faith. I think the grading needs to be how much do I want to, not how much do I actually, because it's about your desire for those things, recognizing that we will not be fully sanctified until we are glorified at the appearing of Jesus. But I think there's another reason a lot of folks lack assurance, and that brings us to our second email sent to idea@wretched.org. I'm curious as to why I never hear you talk about the Christian's identity in Christ. This is a subject I've been wrestling with because it seems like Scripture speaks of adoption, justification, and union, but never identity. So what's your take? My take is the word identity doesn't appear in the Bible. The concept is everywhere. It's baked into our name. We are Christ ones. That's what we are. We are Christ ones. We are to be little Christ. We are His brother. We are the children of God. We are automatically identified with Him when we are brought into His kingdom, because we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness, but in the kingdom of His beloved Son. So we're members of that kingdom. So just like in America, my identity, if you will, I'm an American. I'm other things too, but it's simply by virtue of being in this territory that is my identity, because I'm a citizen of this nation. You are identified with Christ because you are a citizen of His kingdom. So the concept isn't there, but it's all over the Bible. And this might be a good exercise for you if you're lacking assurance because you do not recognize your position in Christ. For instance, the Bible says you're a new creation. Ephesians 2 says you were dead, but you were made alive together with Christ. Colossians 2, God made you alive together with Him. You are in Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You are in Him, says 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are children of God. That's all over the Bible. You're adopted. An adopted child is the identity, is the family that he's adopted into. Ditto for you and me. So no, the Bible doesn't use the word identity. At least I couldn't find it. But the concept is everywhere, and you and I do well to remember these things, that we are indeed identified with Christ. Why? Because it'll help you with your assurance. It'll help. The closer you get to Jesus by remembering his promises and the good things that he has done, then you will increasingly have assurance, because your faith will be increasingly experiential. It won't just be theological, it'll be actual and practical. You're united with Christ. You're crucified with him. You are hidden with Christ in God. You are chosen. You are set apart. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That's who you are, courtesy of Jesus. You have been chosen by God, holy and beloved. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're no longer a stranger and a foreigner. You're fellow citizens with the saints. And you are of God's household. Who are you? You are those things by virtue of what? Not what you do. It's not even what you desire to do. All of those identifications have been provided to you courtesy of King Jesus Christ. Trust his promises. And as you do, remember your new identity because of Jesus. Here's the payoff. You're going to have more assurance. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem, because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought. It's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, "Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group?" Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Probably should have come up with a name before I made that promise. Which one am I? That's right. Which one am I? As always, representing the tens and tens of Wretched Radio listeners, our very own in-house handsome Jimmy Hicks. Jimmy, are you prepared to be the federal head?
I am, absolutely.
I'm going to give you the choice. You have five. Which one of these am I? I'm going to give you the list, and then I'm going to blather on, and then you're going to tell me which one I am.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Am I a curmudgeon? That's A. Two, delusional. Three, forgetful. Four, why are you laughing?
No, you said pick one, right?
Yeah. Oh, ouch. D. D, what did this say here? A wiser. No wonder I couldn't read it. I really never get to spell that word, especially in association with myself. And then finally, none of the above. So am I a curmudgeon, delusional, forgetful, wiser, or none of the above? Huh?
Let's go with A.
Let me take... I haven't done the thing yet. You need to listen, and then you need to...
You meant in this moment. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not... Oh, man. You know what? You know who you're acting like right now?
Who's it?
Erwin Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer.
I'm a good company.
You're in very good company. I don't know if you know Erwin Lutzer. He is, I'm telling you, I want to be like him when I grow up. I really, really do. But I got a text from him because I asked him if he'd be willing to write the foreword for the new book.
Mm-hmm.
Go Serve Your King from HarperCollins, published sometime. I think I heard September is what I think he said in a meeting the other day. And I asked Erwin to write the foreword to it. What did I get myself into? So I sent him one of the manuscripts, but I realized James, the editor, he inserted some really, 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 really quotes that are like really super heady. And I was like, I don't think I can put those in there because I don't even know what they mean, dude. Could we take those out? But I had sent it to Erwin Lutzer and I told him, I said, I've sent you the wrong manuscript. Hang in there. I'm going to send you the new manuscript. And so I get this text now from Erwin. Todd, I've been traveling the whole time and have lost track of reality. That's funny. The last I heard from you was that I didn't have to write the foreword. Where did this Erwin Lutzer come from? The last time I heard from you was that I didn't have to write the foreword because you were revising the book because somebody added to it to make it much better and you wanted it to be just totally bland. I didn't know that, Erwin, until this very day. That is just so not Erwin. If you do have the manuscript ready, you can send it to me. But I think I have 2 years to write the foreword. That's what I remember. Are you two pals?
Yeah, very, very close.
What am I, just some sort of Christian speed bag for the two of you to just slap around? Let me finish the thing. Okay. Then you can tell me if I'm a curmudgeon, delusional, forgetful, wiser, or none of the above.
Okay.
When I look back over the decades of being aware of evangelical skirmishes, I'm looking back and I'm almost like, oh, I wish that's all we were dealing with. Now, abortion is probably the exception, but as I remember all of the different this and that's that have been going on in our culture, things like Pledge of Allegiance, even school prayer, all of those things which have indeed been battles, I'm looking back and I'm going, I don't think they compare to what it is that we are being confronted with. Because the stories that we're reading, I think, are mere fruits. They're not roots. There's something deeper going on here. Last week, we talked about Romans 1, darkened minds, depraved minds, that thinking is so bad. Do you remember the clip that we played of the woman who was chasing after the ICE agents in Minneapolis? And he said, hey, we're trying to take rapists and thugs off of the street. I don't care. You're being cruel to people with darker skin. So in her mind, now there's a lot of confusing components in her mind, but in her mind, it is worse to deport somebody who is here illegally than to allow a rapist or a pedophile to roam the streets. Okay, that's bonkers. That's just bonkers. And it's not just the issue itself. It's the thinking behind it that I think, this could get dangerous. Case in point, a student, this is Brazil, in fairness, is facing 4 to 10 years in prison. Why? Because of transphobic social media posts, two of them going back to 2020. Here's what they were. The student stated that transgender women were obviously born male. How dare you say that? She's going to go to jail. That's what she said. That this man pretending to be a woman was obviously born male. That could get her 5 years. And wrote that a person who identifies as transgender retains their birth DNA and that surgery, hormones, or clothing do not change that fact. Can you believe she would say something? This is now considered a crime. It is akin to the crime of racism, that racism is now a crime. So that you, it's sinful. Crime? Several individuals in Brazil have faced investigative charges related to public statements about gender identity. So another woman, under criminal investigation for an Instagram video that criticized the financing and influence of pro-LGBT organizations. She's being investigated. A pastor faced criminal charges, this is all in Brazil, for a book presenting a Christian view of sexuality. They could go to jail for simply stating what the Bible says. Why? Because the thinking is so depraved and it is so dark and it's producing this type of rotten intellectual and moral fruit. To Canada we go. A Canadian tribunal finds a man. The guy said there are two genders, male and female. Jimmy, unless you saw this story, do you know how much this guy was fined for believing there's only two genders?
No, I don't.
Just give it a shot. And don't go crazy on me. Fine. Only like $82 million.
Oh, no. I was going to say 500.
Oh, you're close. Did you mean 500,000?
What?
It's actually 750,000.
Oh, my goodness.
The BC Human Rights Tribunal stated this, quote, if a person elects not to believe that gender identity is separate from sex assigned at birth, then they do not believe in trans people. What? This is a form of existential denial. Quote, a person does not need to believe in Christianity to accept that another person is Christian. However, to accept that a person is transgender, one must accept that their gender identity is different than their sex assigned at birth. This dude said, I think there's only two genders. They said, you got to pay. It's a bunch of other fines too. But $750,000 is compensation for injury to the class member's dignity, feelings, and self-respect. Give me a fight over prayer in schools again. This is $750,000 fine? In Great Britain, kids will be allowed to change their gender at school. The Department of Education, as young as 4, they can now identify as the opposite sex. But parents should be consulted first unless there's a safeguarding reason not to. So these educators who think it's any of their business are now encouraging 4-year-olds, hey, you can be the other gender. That's just crazy. And on it goes. I've got a stack of more things. The point is, the thinking today, it's just different than it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. As I stated last week, the need is regeneration. These people need to be born again. They need to have a transformed mind because this thinking is so off track. You're just not going to fix this. Am I just being a curmudgeon? Am I being forgetful, delusional? Am I wiser? Or none of the above. Jimmy, what am I? Is this different, this time that we're living in? It just feels different. And I, you know what? Every 4 years, this is the most important election of our life. I don't want to fall into that trap, but I just feel like this has become a different era that we're living in.
Yeah, as much as I would love the opportunity to call you delusional, I think you're being a wiser.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can I just have a moment here? Christian, we would do well to recognize what's happening to this world so that we don't respond in agitation. Their minds are darkened. They literally cannot think right. They can't. And you see it all day in your newsfeed. They can't think right. In order to be sober-minded, in order to gird your minds, in order to be clear thinking, there's really only one cure. And it's the same cure that we all needed, the gospel. Let's not get mad at people whose thinking is broken. Let's evangelize them. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.